Welcome to Issues of the Heart. Have you experienced anger, jealousy, anxiety, depression, marital storms or difficulties? Maybe struggling with self-control? Well, you're not alone, and we're here to help. We deal with these issues and more on Issues of the Heart. It's a weekly broadcast hosted by Jay Albright and a variety of guests where we examine biblical remedies to those issues of the heart. Stay tuned for this week's episode. Well, welcome to Issues of the Heart. Day after Christmas, I trust and hope you had a wonderful Christmas with family and you enjoyed your time as you celebrated the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I appreciate all the contacts, people who have either sent in an email or a text message. And we want to continue to address the things you'd like for us to address. As you know, right now we're going through those anchors in stormy relationships. And we're on anchor number 11. We've been through 10. We've got other things coming up. We're going to be discussing some major subjects. We're going to have some guests on to talk about anger, to talk about selfishness, all kind of things. You see, our podcast, Issues of the Heart, comes about because of some biblical principles. You know, David said, give me thy heart. You know, and it's very important because we know that if our mates, our relationships, if they come from the heart, we know that they'll be long-lasting. So we want to cover those things. So bear with us. We're on anchor number 11. Now this one, I'm really interested to hear how you respond, what you have to say. This is the anchor of physical contact. Anchor number 11, the anchor of physical contact. What do you do when the storms come? What do you do when there's difficulties? What do you do when that stormy relationship tosses and turns? We've given you 10 anchors you can throw out. The one I'm going to give you today may be, in my opinion, one of the most valuable anchors in a stormy relationship. And this one, although it applies to both men and women, this probably will be a little more important to the ladies that are listening to this podcast, but it's something vital for we as men to pay attention to. This is the anchor of physical contact. Touch. Touch is one of those subjects that it seems we think a lot about. We think about it all the time. But everyone's a bit reserved about addressing it. And I think the reason is because for a long time we've heard different messages, we've heard different thoughts, people have addressed it, but they've been extreme one direction or extreme the other. And so what I want to do is share some truths with you. Before I actually get to the anchor, physical touch, though, I want to touch that subject and cover some things that are not anchors. Okay? So, in all my life, and please bear with me, I want to get something off my chest here. In all my life, and all the time I've been doing this, I have heard the subject covered over and over and over again from when I was a little kid to adulthood and way past adulthood. I've heard the subject of touch covered, but what I've always heard is don't touch, don't touch, don't touch, don't touch, the dangers of touching. They get that from 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, because in that passage of Scripture, the Bible said, now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. And so what we've done over the years, we've taken that verse of Scripture and we've made that verse of Scripture our verse to die on. But I want to share something with you. So before I get into what I believe is one of the most valuable anchors in these series of anchors, I want to clear up a couple of things. The word touch is mentioned, I read 38 times I read it in Scripture. And of the 38 times I read it in Scripture, only one of those times was he ever making reference to a man touching a woman. Now, I've heard thousands of messages on the subject, but the only verse I can find that discusses that is this verse of Scripture. So I'm not saying I disagree with what I've heard over the years, but I want to clarify something, and I want to clear something up for you real quickly, please. First of all, one of the dangerous slopes that we as teachers or preachers or counselors get caught up on is attempting to warn of dangers in life by declaring, "Thus saith the Lord," when the Lord didn't say that. I'm not going to go into all of it. If you want to write me and get in a conversation with me about it, I'd be glad to explain some of the things I'm talking about. But I will tell you, so many times we have a right philosophy, but we express that philosophy as "thus saith the Lord" as a biblical truth, and it's not. When we do that, we get on a very dangerous slope, and I hope you'll understand here in a little while. Now, stay with me. Don't judge me yet. Listen through what I'm going to say. Over the years, I've caught myself teaching "thus saith the Lord" on a lot of subjects, only to find out as I got into Scripture and dug and studied and prepared and looked at the Greek and the Hebrew and dissected the verses of Scripture, just to find out that God didn't say that. And what the fact is, the principle that was expressed to me all those years may have been a valid principle. And it may have been a principle worth expressing. And it may have been a principle worth standing on. But get this, please. A principle truth is not a biblical truth. A principal truth is not a biblical truth. And I've gotten myself caught in some situations where I have been face-to-face with groups of people and face-to-face with individuals, and I said, "Well, you know what? God said," and then when they said, "Well, show me," and I looked, and I looked, and I looked. I knew the principle backwards and forwards. I knew it inside and out. But I couldn't find a Bible verse to back it up. I found Bible verses that pointed me in the direction of that principle, but never a verse that said that. I even found some verses that where people took those verses completely out of context and kind of move the verse around or move the words in the verse around to mean something and even define some of the principles in the verse from a personal perspective without any biblical basis for the explanation. Now, again, I'm not criticizing. I'm not throwing stones at the people who have done, because I still believe you should speak principles. If it's your principle, feel free to share it, but be sure you share it as your principle, not as biblical truth. So there's a difference between principle truth and biblical truth. This subject of touching falls into that category. Now watch. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1, "Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman." Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you folks who are listening to me right now, how many of you would say, "Yeah, well, there is a big risk when a man and a woman are touching each other and they're not married. There is a big risk. Okay? That's true. And the principle's true. But do you realize that 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 is actually addressing more than just a physical touch? That passage of scripture is referencing a sexual encounter. To get that, all you have to do is read the rest of the chapter. I mean, he goes right into it. He said, then nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. So what he's saying is, before you get into any kind of a sexual relationship with somebody else, to avoid fornication, you better make sure that's with your wife or with your husband. Go ahead and get a wife, get a husband before you involve yourself in any kind of a sexual encounter, because that's the safest way for you to avoid fornication. Now, I'm going to tell you what. If you look at that passage of scripture and you say, well, what the Bible's teaching there is that a boy should never hold a girl's hand. You know, if you stand on that, I think that's wise, but that's a principle. That's not a biblical truth. That's not what he's saying in that passage of scripture. Now, hold on with me. Don't judge me yet. Listen to what I'm going to say. The principal truth is there is a danger in physical contact between unmarried men and women because of where that physical contact could lead. But when the Bible says you do not, and it's a biblical truth, what he's saying as a biblical truth is there should not be a sexual relationship with somebody who's not your husband, who's not your wife. That's the biblical truth. Anything other than that is a principle truth. Is it okay to express a principle truth? Yes, as long as people understand it's the principle truth. It's not the biblical truth. I wonder... The problem with expressing a principle truth as a biblical truth is that it leads to mistrust, it leads to disillusionment by those who really do dig in and start to study the scripture. Like I said, there's been times, you know, I've been in a pickle because I had somebody who really wanted to grow and they really wanted to learn. And they got in their Bible and they started studying and they started digging and they came back to me and they said, okay, here's what you said. Show me. I believe you, but I just need you to show me because I'm studying it. Boy, you know how humbling it is to go back to those people and say, well, you know, that's just what I believe. And I, over the years, when that happens, I go back to some of those people that I was taught under and I ask them, so, you taught me this, you said this all these years, so where do you find that in Scripture? And they come back to me and say, well, you know, common sense tells you that, and that's what I believe. Well, that's great, and I respect that. And I appreciate those guys for telling me what they believe, but that's a principle, that's not a biblical truth. Am I confusing you, or are you getting it? There's a difference between a principled truth and a biblical truth. If you're going to say, here's what I believe, that's great. But never say, thus saith the Lord, if he didn't say that. Now, hold on and watch. Some people often live, and I've had to deal with this here recently with some people. Some often live a life of guilt and a life of shame. And they'll tell me, you know, Jay, I'm so ashamed and I feel so guilty. Because, and I say, what? We got to get rid of that. So tell me where that guilt is. Well, I was always holding hands with my girlfriend. Or I would put my arm around her even while we were in church. or I gave him or gave her a kiss. And they're living a life of guilt due to something that wasn't even a biblical truth. It was a principle truth. And I had to spend a lot of time saying, whoa, wait a minute, let me show you something. I was talking to a preacher, this has been many, many years ago, and he was making a joke out of it because he was really hard on stuff like this. And he was talking about, yeah, he said, I had a guy come to my office, and he was just tore up. And he said, I got to talk to you. And he said, I don't know if I can even continue to be in Bible college. I don't know if I can even continue to preach. I don't know if I can even continue to serve God. I really messed up, preacher. I really messed up. He told me, I was thinking, good night, what did he do? And he said, preacher, it happened right here on the campus of our church. He said, oh, Lord, right in the church? It happened right in the church? What happened? He said, well, after church, we were holding hands. And he said, we were holding hands. The Bible says it's not good for a man to touch a woman. And this preacher laughed when he told me that. He said, that's pretty neat, isn't it, that that we have our standards so high that even when people get close to the edge, they view that as catastrophic, as a major sin. And I got to thinking about that. Do you know how many people I have to deal with who are in turmoil and who are suffering and who feel like they've gone too far because of somebody's principle? Now let me say again, teach and preach the principle. There's nothing wrong with that. Matter of fact, you're unwise not to. If you believe that and you stand on it, and I do, and you don't teach that or you don't preach that, shame on you. But don't preach it or teach it as a biblical truth. Make sure people understand it's a principle truth. And the difference is, if somebody crosses the line on a principle truth, they hadn't sinned yet. There's still help. There's still hope. But if they cross the line on a biblical truth, now that's different. Now they're headed for destruction if something doesn't happen. Can God forgive it? Absolutely. But you see the difference between a principle truth and a biblical truth? There's a pretty dynamic difference in the two. So when we're talking about this anchor of physical touch, I want you to understand that's not the anchor I'm talking about. Okay? So, again, we're not talking about a biblical truth here. And I'm going to tell you right now, most marital problems are not occurring because they held hands before they got married. Or because he put his arm around her, or she put her arm around him before they got married. Now, another thought concerning physical touch is not the anchor that I'm talking about tonight, but I'm giving you this stuff so that when I tell you what the anchor is, you understand it clearly. Another thought about physical touch, it's in chapter 7 of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, is in verse number 3, where he says, let the husband render unto his wife due benevolence, likewise also the wife unto their husband. So here's the other thought about physical touch. The first part of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 1 says, don't touch or don't have a physical relationship. But in verse number 3, he said, when you get married, you need to have a physical relationship. And it's just as wrong for you to withhold yourself from your mate as it is wrong in verse number one for you to have a physical relationship with someone who's not your mate. It's just as wrong. So he's saying, don't withhold yourself from your husband, and husbands, don't withhold yourselves from your wife. But again, this is not that anchor of physical contact that steadies the ship in the stormy relationship. But quite the contrary, this particular issue oftentimes creates the storm to begin with. Because sometimes that physical contact can become a point of manipulation. And when it's the contact of manipulation, it will never steady a stormy relationship. It's amazing to me how many times we have dealt with marriages where a husband claims that all their problems are because his wife doesn't want to have a sexual relationship with him, and she withholds himself from him. And sometimes the wives say that about their husband. More often than not, is the husband saying that about their wives. And this husband will say, "Well, she always withholds herself from me. She's never in a mood, or she always has a headache, or she just doesn't even want me to touch her." And that's the reason we have marital problems. I'm gonna give you a truth here. I'm not sure whether this is a principle, whether this is a biblical truth, but listen. I promise you that 95% of the time, the problems you're having in your marriage is not coming and not happening, and it's not taking place because your wife is withholding herself from you, or, ladies, your husband's withholding himself from you. As a matter of fact, what the Bible's teaching in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 is when you withhold yourself from your mate, you make them vulnerable to the advances of somebody else outside of the marriage. They become vulnerable because other people are willing to show them the attention that you're not willing to show them. And they get caught up in that. That's what he's talking about there. But I'm going to say again, of all the counseling we've done, hundreds of couples, I'm having a hard time right now thinking of one that the basis of their marital problems was because the mate withheld themselves from the other one. Because there was always something that led to that. Now, here's what I have watched happen. I watched husbands treat their wives like a dog, talk to them like they're a second-class citizen, treat them like they're less than honorable all day long, from the morning to the evening. And then all of a sudden at nighttime, when it's time for them to retire to bed, all of a sudden now, he wants that physical relationship. Well, after she's had a beating all day long, she's not interested in a physical relationship. And then he runs to our office to tell us she's the reason they have a stormy relationship in their marriage. And that is not the case. So, cover two things, and we cover these because I want you to see the difference between those things and this anchor I'm going to tell you about. The anchor, the truth of it's good for men not to touch a woman, he's actually talking about having a physical relationship with a woman or a man that you're not married to. There's danger in that. Leads to fornication. Then, in that chapter, he's talking about it's wrong, sinful, for you to withhold yourself from your mate, to put them on unsteady ground in the area of temptation. But here's the anchor I want to share with you tonight. After I cleared up what wasn't the anchor. The anchor I want to share with you tonight is this anchor of a physical touch. A physical touch. All right, now hold on, get this. This is not a touch of a sexual nature. The anchor I'm talking about between a husband and a wife is not just a touch of a sexual nature. Here you go. This anchor, physical touch, is an anchor of holding her hand. A gentle touch. A touch on the shoulder. A touch on the waist. A touch on the back. Holding her hand as you walk through a mall. I was dealing with a couple of years ago, and they were really struggling. And he came to me and he said, I'll do whatever I have to do. I'll do whatever I have to do. I said, here's what I want you to do. Every time you get a chance, I want you to get as close to her as you can. And I want you to hold her hand or put your arm around her or put your hand on her side. But never, until I tell you, don't ever let that lead to any kind of a sexual encounter. As a matter of fact, if she starts going that way, pull away from that. All I want you to do, hold her hand, a gentle touch, touch her shoulder, put your hand around her, or your arm around her back. Slide close to her. Nothing more. Just a gentle touch. That anchor of a physical touch could be a kiss. But a kiss of, I love you, I appreciate you, I'm thankful for you. Not a precursor to a sexual encounter. Just a kiss. So this anchor I'm talking about is an anchor of physical touch, physical contact that doesn't lead to something, but it's just contact that says, I love you. You're important to me. An anchor of touch. Physical touch helps ensure there are no barriers. The first thing I notice when there's a barrier between a husband and a wife, when there's problems and they're starting to get apart, the first thing that goes is physical touch. Physical touch. I can't tell you how many wives have said to me, you know what, I feel like my husband's ashamed of me. And I say, why do you feel that way? Well, we'll go to the mall and he never holds my hand. We can go to the movie theater and he doesn't lean up against me. We don't take strolls in the evening around the neighborhood. The first thing that goes is that physical touch. And I'm telling you, when the storms come and the water's getting choppy and rough and your relationship is in the middle of the Yerakladon, throw out the anchor of physical touch. holding a hand. A gentle touch. Putting your arm around her. A kiss on the cheek. Kiss on the mouth, but not an aggressive kiss because you're wanting something afterwards. Physical touch helps to ensure there are no barriers. When you start giving that physical touch, you'll find out the barriers start going down. Physical touch usually speaks much louder than actual conversations. I had a guy say to me here a couple of years ago, he said, I just don't know what to say. I don't know what you want me to say. And I said, I don't want you to say anything. And I said, she doesn't want you to say anything. Just touch her. The anchor of physical touch. When you can do that and she knows you're not wanting something in return, the walls come down. Physical touch is usually a picture of unity and harmony. When there's no physical touch. My wife and I, we hold hands all the time. She says I'm too aggressive about it because when I'll hold her hand, but then if I'm listening to something or I'm listening to music or whatever and I'm not thinking about it, as the seconds go by, the harder I squeeze her hand. And finally, she takes her other hand and pulls her hand out and says, okay, regroup, and then we'll start holding hands again. Physical touch is usually a picture of unity and harmony. Guys, I'm going to give you a truth right now. I know you're the macho guy. I know that. And man, I know you hung the world, right? For your wife. But I'm going to tell you right now, your wives do not need you to solve their problems. Your wife just needs an anchor. And you become that anchor for her when you throw out that anchor of physical contact. Try it out. Test me. See if I'm telling you the truth. Then send me an email. Say, you know what? I hadn't held my wife's hand in years, and I started holding my wife's hand, and all of a sudden, things are a little different. Things have changed a little bit. It's become interesting. The anchor of physical touch. Anchor number 11. How's your marriage? How's your relationship? Are you going through a storm? Throw out the anchor of physical contact. Thank you. Practice it. And we'll talk next week. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful week. Good night.